Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. On today's show, not in our name.
There are a collective of women, of women, who, to use their words, reject the weaponization of their identities to justify discrimination. It's great we've got to talk to them.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And we all like a night out, but does it always have to involve alcohol? Jacob will be live in the studio to talk about their sober event.
Jacob.
Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, welcome to Shout Out. You were sat outside talking to him. You got his name wrong, but he's here in the studio.
It's because I was reading it, and it's like, spell things phonetically, please, for me. It really helps with dyslexia.
Sorry, Jacob. We will get your name right when we interview you later, I promise. Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, spring. I feel like spring. Saturday I went out shooting, and it was the first time the weather was nice, and I had a thoroughly good day.
Yes.
It's Clays, by the way. No animals were hurt in the...
Yes. No. I'm glad Steph's not here, because I know exactly what she'd be going on about.
I know.
It is, isn't it? And it's not... It's only, 3 weeks or so until the clocks go forward?
Yeah.
And then it really feels like spring's kicking.
Yeah, and daylight's there at 6 in the morning as well.
Yeah, and it was like, gone 6:30, I think, this evening, and it's still light. I'm like, I love
we're
it.
We're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah. I don't know why it's just because we're old. We've been through it too many times.
But it's like, I just want the summer. I want that heat in my body. Sorry. It's like, it stops feeling me achy.
So the world's got a bit of a scary place since we were last on air last week, hasn't it?
Oh.
Everything, we won't go in depth with it, but...
There's a nutter in charge.
Yeah, going abroad.
Will I see that?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he's listening, but...
Yeah.
Just don't travel to America anytime soon, you'll be fine.
I wouldn't get in anyway. Apparently they do searches on your Facebook and wherever else, I'd definitely get banned.
So anyway, we got a brilliant one today. They reached out to and ask if they could talk to us, and you may have heard a group called Not In Our Name, which is brilliant, because of course, as you're hearing it, things are very polar. They're very anti-trans, or...
But it's nice to see someone standing up and doing the opposite now.
Well, this is women
and
who
that's
are
really
saying,
good, isn't it?
No, we don't agree with it, so... but I'm not going to give any more away, because it's a brilliant, brilliant conversation. So this is Steph having a chat with Julie and Philippa from Not In Our Name. Have a listen to this.
As everyone will know, listen regularly to Shout Out. There's some great organisations out there. And one small group of people within the LGBTQIA group needs as much help as it can get. I'm joined by Julie and Philippa from Not In My Name Women's Collective. Did I get that right?
No! Not In Our Name. Well, very close.
Okay, you correct me. So, Julie, what is the proper name and how did it all start?
So, we go... by the name of Neon, which is NION, which stands for Not In Our Name. It came about very organically. There was a group of women in London that were concerned about what was happening in the run-up to the Supreme Court ruling, and just generally what was happening in terms of the narrative around trans inclusion. And there was another group in Brighton that were getting together and that were having the same conversations. And then there was another group of women inside business who were having the same conversations. And there was a common person at the centre of all of those groups who knew all of those groups who said, let's all get together. And it started very much with a group of people that we knew were long-term allies of the trans community and long-term advocates for trans inclusion, and then we just invited other people that we knew that felt like we felt, because we think that the debate is being presented very much as this is a discussion between women on one side and trans women on the other side, and actually we know that from all of our lived experiences that that's not the case, that there's a lot of women who don't have a problem at all sharing space with trans women and enjoy the company and the diversity of having trans women in our spaces. And we didn't feel that we were being talked about at all. We felt we were being completely ignored, and the debate was being presented in polarised terms as if all women had one view. And we knew from our own experience that wasn't true. So it's very much a loose collective of women. We don't have leaders or staff or any of that. It's just a group of women, all of whom have in common this one thing, that we feel we're not being heard and we're not being included in this conversation. And we wanted to make sure that policymakers and politicians and other people with influence in this agenda know that actually women do not all feel the same way.
Did it shock you, and I'll ask you this, Philippa, did it shock you to know when you've looked at the numbers of trans people, there's only like 186,000 trans people with a gender recognition certificate. There's 70 million people in this country, that they decided after decades and decades of trans women and trans men sharing spaces?
I think anyone who has any little bit of awareness of issues to do with trans people generally learns very quickly that they are a tiny minority. Steffi, the number of them that have gender recognition certificates is even smaller as well, mainly because gender recognition certificates are really hard to get still. And again, I think, like Julie said, from our experience, we were aware that we've been living in a society in the UK that trans people have been part of for, I mean, really hundreds of years, but we saw trans people as just part of, as Julie said, the diversity of our society, and that we share spaces with them and that we, yeah, enjoy their company. And so, yeah, it was a real shock to suddenly be hearing these narratives which were painting the issue as if there was a sudden huge problem with trans people, or that there were suddenly huge numbers of trans people, or that for some reason there was suddenly a threat or a danger. And I think, like Julie said, we just wanted to share our experiences as cisgender women of how we've always had a sense of that trans people are welcome, that trans people are included, and that hasn't changed, and that we wouldn't want it to change. And again, I think, like Julie says, it's been pitted as something that women need protecting from, and we don't feel that at all. We feel that we want to share our lives with our trans siblings, and we wanted to be a safe space for other women to come on board and have a place where they can express that as well. Because I think a lot of women would look at things on social media or in the press and feel like, unless I'm a trans person or really, really involved with the trans community or LGBT community, or unless I'm a woman that wants to exclude trans people, there's no place for me to get involved in this. So I'll just keep quiet. And we just want, again, just like Julie says, we felt that there were so many women who want to show love, support and inclusion for the trans community, and just don't share the narratives that are being painted about trans people, and that sadly have led to some of the policies and rulings that we've seen of late, that we just feel go against the fundamental values that we see, and the fundamental values we'd hope that would be recognised and embraced in the UK, despite lots of different opinions on lots of different things.
And also, what amazed me is the Women's Institute, how that's just gone. One of the biggest groups in Manchester have just pulled away from the WI because they're trans inclusive. Yeah, so it's that pushback. The fact that the government are sat on the report that the Equalities Commission put to them months ago now to withdraw it because of impending court cases just goes to show that they're actually on shaky ground. Right, Julie, let us know what's happening currently.
The original reason that we were set up remains really our kind of guiding reason, which is we were just set up to show that actually when you discuss this, when this issue is discussed in a kind of a very linear way that pits women against trans women, that actually that's not true, because actually it's not all women, and it's actually we agree with you, we think it's a minority of women that want to exclude trans women from women only spaces, and that minority are getting all of the attention, and the rest of us who don't feel like that are being ignored. And we saw, I think, with the Hampstead Pond consultation, but also with our petition, which is really just asking women that feel like we do to sign it.
Did it surprise you on how your numbers increase so quickly?
Been running for a very short space of time, and we've had over 85,000 signatures already. So the first thing we would say to people, you know, we just wanted to do something simple to broaden the conversation, and to make sure that voices like ours were part of the conversation. And I think we are very much on track to do that, but the higher that number of signatories are to that letter, the better. So please, the first thing we'd ask you to do is sign the letter and share it on social media, and take pictures of you signing it if you want to, and share those on social media and encourage other people to do so. We've also had a Valentine's campaign, which is still running, where we're sending loving letters to our trans siblings to tell them that actually there's a lot of women here who feel like we do, and this, that we stand beside.
I'll give you my address in a minute.
Thank you. And then, as Philippa will get onto later, there's lots of ways you can engage with us via our social medias and etc.
Right. And I think, like Julie said, when we set up, we had an idea to do something that was very simple, that made it easy for people to come on board with us. I think there are some people who know huge amounts of details about the history of trans rights, or about the legal aspects, or about all sorts of campaigns that are going on. And sometimes people don't quite know how to get involved at that level. So we felt we wanted to do something really simple that, as Julie says, anyone who feels the same, any woman who feels the same as we do, can simply sign the letter. But I think we felt that by showing those numbers, we give the evidence and the validation to many other groups who are doing brilliant campaign work in this area, so that when they say trans inclusion is important, or trans people should be included, or women accept trans people, they can point to our letter and they can use our evidence. So we feel like we're able to really strengthen and support all that campaign work that other fantastic organizations in the LGBT space are doing. And I think that what we're starting to see as the numbers grow and we get more followers on social media and so on, is I think we're giving people the confidence and the courage and the guidance that they might need to start having these conversations on their own out there in the world. So we go out a lot ourselves and we speak to people, we visit people, we have these conversations to share our views and to encourage people to get involved with us and to start to help people have this, you know, discuss these viewpoints and spread this narrative of inclusion. But I think we're giving women in particular, the confidence to start having those conversations themselves, which perhaps they weren't sure how to do before. But we're modeling a little bit of that so that they can talk to their friends or their colleagues or their neighbours about how they feel and what they would like to see. So on the one hand, I know that sometimes people look at Neon, Not In Our Name, and they think, well, they don't seem to be doing very much, you know, they aren't, holding mass lobby days in Parliament or whatever. But I feel like what what we're offering is something that really has been missing, which is this part of the conversation. And we just want to strengthen these narratives about women and trans people being on the same side and being able to come together and fight for the rights of all marginalized people, and that trans people and cis women can get along perfectly well. And we have done for decades. And when people spread fear-mongering and prejudice against trans people, we can encourage people to speak up and share something a bit different from their own experience. I think maybe there's a lot that often goes on behind the scenes, but as we say, the letter can have a huge amount of power. So don't underestimate how much we can change hearts and minds just by showing how many people feel this way.
Yeah, indeed.
And also, right. I think one of the things that was really important to us from the start is part of the reason that we think a lot of women who feel like us aren't speaking up is that it's been quite a polarized debate, and the anger in the debate has been very well publicized, over-publicized probably, because it's a tiny minority of people who are having fiery conversations. But so one of our real philosophies was to really not do that and not be involved in that. And we're very clear, we're not here to speak on behalf of the trans community. And part of the reason why we're not doing the activist-y campaigning stuff that other organisations do is because trans-led organisations are, we believe, much better placed than us to do that work. And they do have legitimacy to speak on behalf of that community in a way that we really don't. So we're very careful that we don't want to be either sucking up resources or taking opportunities to do that advocacy work well away from trans-led organisations. And we're here in support. So we're just here to show, as we said, you know, we want to change the conversation so that next time someone says, well, this is about the majority of women versus trans women, someone else can say, actually, it's not really the majority of women, is it? Because, you know, we know that there are at least 85,000 people that feel strongly enough to have said that that position doesn't speak for them. That's a group worth considering too.
Yeah. And you just know that when these petitions actually happen, so few people sign, even though people maybe intend or mean well, and then they just don't. So whether it's apathy or they're too busy in their life,
the house,
or they forget.
So
to have, I think, 85,000, and I'm sure you're going to get your 150,000, and hopefully once this goes out across the UK, you'll see a load more signatures coming your way. Kudos to your organisation. I think what you're doing is something special, because you're doing it in the right way and you're doing it from a place of love, and that's what's going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. We should always, I think, choose love.
Yeah, indeed. Philippa, so give us a rundown, social media and websites.
Yeah, so just to say that our open letter is specifically for cisgender women to sign. And that's not because Neon Women don't want to work with and include anyone and everyone who shares our vision. It's just that in our mission of changing the conversation, we feel it's really important to be able to say that this is cisgender women speaking up for trans inclusion. So we have lots of other ways that we want to connect with our male allies and, of course, with trans people. Just in terms of the letter, then that one is just for cisgender women. But everybody else can do us a massive favour by simply sharing and helping us get the word out, whether that's chatting to your friends down at the pub or the hockey club or on your social media or whatever. So sharing is a great way that you can help and support. And to say as well, a lot of the conversation, of course, is about cisgender women and trans women. But we want to just make clear as well that when we talk about who we support and who our love and inclusion goes out to, it's all trans people, non-binary people, trans men, and everything in between, and trans women, of course, as well. So sometimes we'll see that the conversation is skewed a little bit more towards things to do with women, but we want to make it clear that we include all of the trans community in what we're trying to do. So as Julia said, signing our letter and sharing our letter is number one. And you can find the letter on our website, which is, it's not in our name, all one word, .org.uk. Other things that you can do, we have some really nice sort of assets and resources on our website in the download section, which you can, you're more than welcome to use. So that can help you create social media posts. We have little posters and placards that you can also print out if you want to take them to events or put them up somewhere locally where people might see them. And we love it when people take photos of themselves with one of our placards that either says, I've signed or have you signed? And we love when people share those on our social media. On our website as well, you can sign up for our newsletter. So that will help you keep keep abreast of any little campaigns that we're doing. Like Julie said, we had a Valentine's one when we asked our followers to write letters of love to the trans community. And we've got, you know, we'll have some plans for similar stuff like that through the year that, again, we just love people to get on board and come and do with us. We do attend events and marches and protests around the UK. So sometimes we ask some of our followers to come and join us at those to represent Neon Women and have a really nice positive presence at those events. And if you are in a financial situation and want to make donations, we actually recommend that you give your donations to trans charities and trans organisations. We are on Facebook. We're on Blue Sky, LinkedIn, Instagram. I think we also maybe have a TikTok somewhere in there. We're generally quite easy to find on those platforms. If you just type in not in our name women in the search bar, you'll find us very easily. And yeah, we'd love it if you follow us on there. That again all just helps spread the word. Yeah, and again, our website is notinourname.org.uk.
Philippa, Julie, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. Really appreciate the work that you do. And fingers crossed for the 150,000 signatures for that letter.
In fact, it's only 100 that we need to get to. Then I think we can put, then I think they like petitions with 100,000 signatures in Parliament, don't they? So okay. We're actually very, very, we're actually over 86,000 now. So it's, you know, just wow. You and your mate signing, and all of your followers signing, and a mate, that's Sylvia.
Excellent.
Thanks
excellent.
For having us, Steffi. We've,
thank you both.
Really enjoyed
thank
the
you.
Conversation. Cheers.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Quite different for us, that one. That's called UFO. That's by Olivia Dean. So nice, kind of like mellowy type one, isn't it?
Like the space today.
Like what space?
Like the space we're in today.
Oh, right, okay. Future. Okay. Right, we're on our own this week. It's again. Just you and I again, isn't it? So apologies for how well or not so well we do this. Don't laugh, you've got to read in a minute.
Yeah.
So are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Right, here's your news. This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 6th of March 2026.
Bristol Pride has released the first wave of acts for the Summer Festival, with organisers promising one of their most ambitious programmes yet. Pride remains one of the largest cultural events, drawing tens of thousands each year into the city.
Bristol's queer nightlife scene continues to grow, with a new LGBT plus club opening this month and several established venues reopening after refurbishments. Promoters say demand for safe queer-led spaces remains strong.
At City Hall, recent full council meetings have seen renewed tensions around trans rights, with councillors and campaigners calling for respectful debate and safe participation after heated exchanges and walkouts at the last two sessions.
In a new report from Transactual UK, warns that trans people across the country are facing what it describes as a rising tide of discriminatory behaviour, with many avoiding healthcare due to hostile political and media climates. There's also been renewed concern this week that a number of trans young people in Scotland turning to unregulated do-it-yourself hormone use. Yahoo News UK reports that activists have been advising young people on self-medicating and cross-sex hormones amid what experts describe as a growing black market in supplies through online sellers and street dealers. Medical professionals warn that illicit hormones carry serious risks, including contamination and incorrect dosing. In Ireland, the journal reports that trans people are increasingly seeking gender-affirming hormones outside official healthcare channels due to long waiting lists and lack of trust in the National Gender Service. Community groups say that young people feel they have no safe space or timely alternatives and are calling for accessible, evidence-based, properly funded gender services to reduce the risks created by the current system.
This week also marks LGBT Adoption and Fostering Week 2026, and the theme of Now's the Time, services across the UK are highlighting the urgent need for adopters and foster carers, celebrating the contribution of LGBT plus families.
28 British and French charities, including Rainbow Migration, have issued a joint call to four airlines to withdraw from a UK-France deportation arrangement known as the One In, One Out scheme. Campaigners argue that the policy risks returning vulnerable, including LGBT plus asylum seekers, to unsafe conditions, and testimonies describe detention centres as prison-like.
A major new fundraiser event, Queer Health 2026, has been announced for the 2nd of July at London's Battersea Arts Centre. The event will raise funds for the Not A Phase and the LGBT Foundation, bringing together figures including Yasmin Finlay, Danny St James, Dr Michael Bradley and Dr Paul Martin. Panels will explore transition, sexual health, family building and mental resilience. Organisers say the event comes at a time when more than a quarter of LGBT plus people report negative healthcare experiences, rising to over half for the trans community.
QX magazine is highlighting ongoing campaigns around prostate and bowel cancer, with health advocates working to reach communities that may be at higher risk. The Errol McKellar Foundation has been using radio outreach to raise awareness among black men who face a higher risk of prostate cancer. LGBT plus health campaigners are also increasing visibility on the queer scene. One initiative is Booty Call CIC, founded by DJ Daniel Edwards after his own bowel cancer diagnosis at 42. Using humour and bold imagery, including a giant inflatable peach, the product brings cancer awareness directly into queer nightlife, pride events and community spaces. The aim is to reduce stigma and encourage early recognition of the symptoms. Anyone concerned about symptoms of bowel or prostate or testicular cancer is encouraged to contact the NHS 111 for advice.
Members of the European Parliament held a major hearing this week on proposals for the EU-wide ban on conversion practices following a citizens' initiative that gathers over 1 million signatures in a single week. Campaigners say coordinated action is urgently needed, as only 8 EU countries currently have bans in place. IGL Europe's latest annual review warns an increased restrictions on LGBT plus rights across the continent, including pride bans, prosecutions under propaganda laws, and broader democratic backsliding. The organisation says LGBT plus communities are often among the first to be targeted, as civic freedoms are eroded.
Advocate.com reports that Florida has been cut off to access to HIV medication for around 12,000 people, prompting concern from public health experts that LGBT plus organisations. They warn the decision could have a severe consequence on individuals and the wider HIV prevention efforts. In Kansas, new state rules have resulted in transgender residents having their driver's license voided, with researchers warning of impacts on healthcare access, employment, and personal safety. And Australia's Star Observer reports that in 2026, that the 2026 Sydney Mardi Gras Parade delivered a vibrant... Delivered? 2026? Does that mean 2025? Delivered a vibrant and powerful celebration despite ongoing political tensions around LGBT plus rights. That might have been 2026.
Yeah, because it's summer.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Warm greetings to our Hindu and Sikh listeners and to anyone and everyone celebrating Holi this week. The Festival of Colour marks the arrival of spring and is celebrated across the Indian subcontinent. LGBTQ plus Hindu organisations Glava 108 notes that Hindu and Vedic traditions include many stories of deities and spiritual figures transcending the gender norms, reflecting a long history of gender diversity within the faith. However you are celebrating, we wish you a joyful and colourful Holi.
Doing our best this week. That's your shout out news for this week. You can keep up to date with queer media in your area by checking local magazines and websites and by visiting our very own shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For shout out news, this has been Tara Fraser
and Andy Shilton.
Shout out news,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Come back, Terry. All is forgiven. I'm not doing that again.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, no, that doesn't chill you well. That's nice, isn't it?
Sorry, you'd have to wake me up now.
It's called B-Sides and it's by Katrina Stone. Mm. So roll on summer.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
A nice slow summer, yeah. Please.
You can imagine lying on a hill with the sun going down and just listening to that on like your portable speaker or something.
In a tree shade. I like tree shade.
Jakob agrees, you like that one, don't you?
I did like that one, it was nice, yeah.
So I thought I'd do some more mellow ones, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I approve. I like the mellow.
I've got a jazzy one. I mean, I'll just pick whatever takes my fancy at the time I'm running the show. So you know if I'm in a bad mood, if it's like dum 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 dum.
Okay.
So anyway, a very warm welcome to Jakob. Make sure we say it right this time.
Yeah. Jakob.
Hello everyone.
Yandy.
So a very warm welcome to shout out to you. Now it's you're doing an event that is part of a bigger thing, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it kind of all revolves around avoiding that thing that we seem to associate so much with our life, that is alcohol, don't we?
Yeah. So I'm here just to promote our Bristol Sober Spaces event, Sober Queers, which is next weekend, which is just... we're an events company. We're part of Bristol Drugs Project. We've been putting on events for about 3-4 years now. And just the whole idea is that you can go and have a party, you can have an amazing time, but there's just no alcohol there. So people can enjoy a night out without the like pressure of having to drink or being around it.
So what brought all this around in the first place?
So I think this really came from like really seeing a gap in the live events industry, that there isn't really a space for people who don't want to drink. Part of that is coming out of the recovery communities, but also just lots of people don't want to drink alcohol anymore. And noticing this gap and wanting to create events that are really fun, exciting, that showcase really brilliant live music for people who fit into that category. We're not an events company just for sober people as well. We have loads of people who come to our events who do drink and take drugs, but just don't want to do that every night and want to come and have a night out and enjoy live music without that pressure.
So is it just like going to a normal club night, but is it in the evening?
Yeah, you do these? It's a little bit earlier than a normal club night. Like, okay. It's a little bit earlier. Most of our events finish at like 9 or 10. Our event next week starts at 6 and ends at 9, so it's a nice short event. But yeah, it's like literally any other gig or club night. There'll be live music, DJs, lots of dancing. They even have a bar there. They just don't serve any alcohol at the bar. Yeah.
Nice. So, but is it... I'm just trying to think of some of the questions people would have. So, I mean, yeah. But is it... soft drinks, or can you get, because there are non-alcoholic beers and wines and the like, are they part of it, or is
it? So we'll have like a range of soft drinks and zero alcohol beers and different things as well, whatever the venue really wants to provide. Lots and lots of energy drinks. We did like a day rave over summer, and I think we sold more Red Bull than anywhere else in Bristol that day.
And there's a thing though, isn't there, a lot of more young people are choosing not to drink now, because Bristol Pride are saying that they don't have so much over the bar now as well, which is good.
We're really, really starting to see more and more people just choosing not to drink, just for many, many different reasons. Like, there can be 100 different reasons why someone doesn't choose to drink. And lots of what we hear from people is that as soon as all the cafes during the day close, there's literally nowhere to go. You can't go out. And if you do go out, you're going to be around people who are intoxicated. Mm. And that isn't very nice if you're not intoxicated sometimes. And we just really wanted to meet that need for people and fill that gap, so there is a space for people to go who don't want to drink on a night out.
Yeah, I noticed that with businesses. A lot of businesses circulate, have a social events, and they're always alcohol based, which I think is quite a shame. Really, they need to kind of really rethink how they, you know, communicate with each other. They don't need to get drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And like, if you go to some of our events, you probably wouldn't even realize it's a sober event until you've been there for about an hour, just because it's no different to any other night that you go into. People are dancing their hearts out, they're really enjoying themselves. You can really see that people are absolutely loving live music, but there's just no alcohol.
I mean, it is true. You don't have to be drunk to dance.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to one of our DJs about it, and we were just saying how, like, when you're younger and you first start going to concerts, and you get that real, like, rush from seeing live music, and then that almost gets lost a bit when you get older and you start drinking at these events. Whereas when you take the alcohol out of it and you start to get that really natural rush and that natural high from seeing live music and it feeling like a really, like, natural feeling and a natural emotion, it's a really, really beautiful thing. And like, some people prefer to go to sober events even though they might drink, just because they get that feeling and they don't get that elsewhere.
Well, it's also, I mean, you should, I'm not going to encourage people drinking to excess at all, but it is very common when you go out and you drink, you do drink a lot more, and there can be parts of the night you don't even remember, especially if you're younger, you know. So if you're going to go to something and enjoy it, surely it's good to go and enjoy it and actually remember it as
well. definitely. How many people say they had the best night of their life and then can't remember half of it? You will remember every single minute of our nights, and it will hopefully be a really lovely memory.
So what's the plan? Is it, are you sticking with that kind of club night type thing, or do you think you'll venture into other things? Or
With our event next weekend, it's our Sober Queers event, so we take a lot of influence from like the queer party culture. So we've got a DJ, we've got Gender Criminal, who's a Bristol legend drag performer, and then we've got two live bands. So we've got Juju, who's our guest headliner, and we've got Carenza, who's opening the night. I forgot to mention our DJ is Slagger Muffin, who is another Bristol legend.
Yeah, very well known names, especially here. So
cool.
I mean, but do you think I'm assuming it's very successful from what we've talked about. Would you venture into like something that's not music related, or is that become your core?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I love live music, and that's my passion, and that's what I want to be able to do. I think there are plenty of like sober activities which people wouldn't even consider sober, like going on a walk, or like football clubs, or all these like runners groups or different things, and a lot of these things are fun, but they're not exactly what people are after.
Watching the Bisons play, they would be quite a different experience, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why are you off to drink to watch rugby?
No, I meant to play rugby.
Yeah.
Too dangerous.
Be very, very different watch, wouldn't it?
Too dangerous. So.
No, it's really good. Yeah. And what's the response been like from the community?
People seem to really, really enjoy it, and I think one of the nicest things to see is like people who are going, who are like really nervous, they've never been to sober events before, and they're quite anxious to go to these things, and then as soon as they get in there and they notice how like welcoming our events are and get really stuck into it, they actually have the best time. And I've had like plenty of people coming up to me and saying that they actually prefer coming to the sober events than like other events, and also just like seeing how needed it is for a lot of communities who just can't go out because they can't find a place in scenes where there's lots of alcohol around it. So like recovery communities or people who don't drink for religious reasons, seeing them be able to come to a space where they can feel really welcome and safe is a really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's something that you think also because it's a queer event and we're very well known for being a very nice, open, welcoming community.
We are a lovely community, and I think that's a big part of the event is we want to make it feel safe and held for people. So we also have like a group of volunteers from Bristol Sober Spaces there who will be welcoming people when they come in and also like looking after people if they're having a bit of a bad night.
And so is this a monthly event? Going forward? Is that
not quite monthly? I think we're probably, so the Sober Queers events will probably be once every 3 to 6 months. We are partnered with Trinity and we're putting on an event at Trinity once every three or four months, I think. And then we have a monthly open mic as well. There's probably more events that I have forgotten about, so I am sorry about that.
Well, you'll have to get them to come and talk to us on there and they can give them out, can't they? So.
And is it turn up at the door or is it a ticket event? How does it...
You can get tickets on Head First. They are going at £10 and then we also have tickets on the door for £12.50.
Okay.
Cool. And I suppose it's too far away to know if you're doing anything around Pride time then. She's not that far away.
That's quite good, isn't it? Yeah.
Be really nice. I mean, the official after parties obviously do involve alcohol.
Maybe I'm scheming over here. Maybe we'll find a way to do something around Pride.
So next event's next weekend. Yeah. Tickets on Head First. If people want to find out more about you, where's the best place for them to?
Best place is we have a website, Bristol Sober Spaces. Or you can go on our Instagram, which is at Bristol Sober Spaces.
Cool. Well, listen, it's great to hear it's such a success as well. And it's one of those things that, doesn't involve alcohol. You are so right. We're so focused on it. It's lovely to see, because in my day, it was the big thing. But then it was quite a different thing, because obviously the scene was quite a protected space.
Well, when I worked as a therapist with the Swan Project, I just didn't drink. And it was a really strange experience to have life without alcohol for about 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite interesting.
It's very weird if you, for any reason, have to be the sober one on a night out. Never as fun as when you're all sober, you know.
And just seeing that really natural connection that you have with your friends that you might not get elsewhere,
Different sort of connection as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You'll have to stay in touch and let us know of the future ones too, so that we can let the audience know about that. So, but for now,
Jakob.
Thank you. You nailed it.
Thanks, mate. It's been lovely. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. I'm back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go.
That sounded so 80s.
Yeah, but it's not. It's a brand new track. That's Jack Savaretti, and it's called We Will Always Be The Way We Were. So you can actually, if you want to see it, it's on YouTube. It was also on Graham Norton about a month or so ago.
There's a bit of a theme with your music.
I know. Well, yeah. We quite enjoy the Graham Norton show because he gets some really good
conversation going.
Yeah, brilliant conversations, you know. And some of the artists that perform, I mean, I don't like all of them, but I do like... So the downside is they all perform live.
Yeah.
And you can't Shazam something live.
Oh, right, it
doesn't work. You know, it goes off a pre-recorded thing. So I have to write it down or go back and look. So, but yeah, I like that one. I played that one a few times on the show.
Cool.
So, what do you think to our sober it's having really good fun.
I think it's a really good thing, I'll be honest.
I am genuinely loving the fact that I mean, I don't want to make myself sound old, I'm only 47, but you know, when I was 18 to 30 or so, everything revolved around booze and the like. But it was quite a different thing, because there was, I mean, the gay scene as it used to be known really was a thing, because the spaces were protected, because you were allowed to exclude heterosexual people to make it a safe space. And of course the Equalities Act changed that, and that couldn't happen, but also gave us the equalities rights that, you know, we mostly enjoy today. I know we've got issues with trans community, but that whole thing's now gone, you know. So for me, that kind of like impressionable late teenage age you went out because that was where it was safe to go and where all your gay friends were, and you knew everyone else was gay, so you weren't going to get punched because you went up to someone and said, I fancy you. Ugh. You know, it doesn't happen now. Yeah. You say it to most straight guys, it's like, can I buy you a drink? Oh, thanks, mate. That's a real compliment. I'm straight, but yeah, I'll have a drink, you know. They actually quite like the fact
that...
There's a difference in age groups.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was 18, 19, 20, if you did that to a straight guy, they'd just, deck pop you one, yeah. You know, so it's nice it's changed, and it's quite interesting because I joined a gym recently, and the PT I was talking to, I said, it's mad, so many youngsters. He said, yeah, there's been a huge boom in the last 5 years of that 18 to 25s
going to the gym.
They're not interested in alcohol, they're not interested in partying, they're more interested in getting fit. So it's really nice to see it changing that way.
Yeah, well, my son's all about his diet and his rugby. I mean,
yeah, we need the youngsters to look after us when we're old.
Yeah.
If they are,
well, hopefully I've looked after them well enough so they want to do the return. Yeah. It's when you get work out you've got it right or wrong there.
So next couple of weeks we're doing lots of things around Pride, believe it or not. Next week we're talking trans Pride.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think hopefully the week after we'll be catching up with Darren from Bristol Pride. He was due on a few weeks ago, remember?
I was looking at some of the things that are coming up, but it's like Sister Sledge, Jason Donovan.
I know.
Black Box.
Yes.
I used to come out of my car, my little yellow
ride on time.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure I get that in the show for that week, won't I?
That cassette got worn out. Yes.
Yeah. It's still a big hit, even now, Ride on Time. You hear it every now and again. So, but yeah, I couldn't believe it when Jason Donovan was going to be there. I didn't even know he was still performing.
No.
So, I don't think they've announced a headliner yet, have they?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, I wonder if Darren would be nice and give us a few tidbits while he's here.
Early yet, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's but they're releasing it a lot earlier this year as well.
Yeah, the tickets are available already.
They are, and you can also buy a true cost ticket, which is what it would cost. It's a lot more expensive, but it's genuinely what it would cost if they could charge everyone that. So if you really want to help out, you can see that. Loads of other tickets around, and of course, it's not a requirement, but please buy a ticket because it's the only thing that keeps it going. So, yeah. You know, and we don't want Pride to disappear, do
no,
we?
No,
it's
no,
fun.
No.
We're looking
so
forward to it.
Yep.
If you're not out or can't go for whatever reason, you will be able to listen to it live with us all day. Anyway, that's it for this week. You heard us talking to the lovely Jakob there. If you have an event or a story, or perhaps you even want to get involved in radio and help support me and Tara, because we're rubbish at the news, we'd love it if you did. Just check us out online or get in touch.
Oh, all our shows are available in podcasts and all good services, as well as website shoutoutradio.lgbt. There we go. Amateur.
As I said, next week we're talking to Trans Pride. Trans Pride. Bye for now.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.